every time that the Lord pours out His Spirit upon His people and He blesses and anoints what His people are doing, I get a real blessing from it. It makes you tremble to think that the Lord has come that close to be in our midst, to see what He is doing and how He is working in the Holy Spirit ministering among us. I very moved by the prayer that was just prayed, with the thoughts, some of the thoughts that I have on my heart this afternoon. We are challenged to be what the Lord wants us to be, to do what the Lord wants us to do. For some reason, I'm not able to find the song that I want. Oh, now I found it. This afternoon, I've been thinking about my Aunt Armilda. She was a minister of this gospel. There might be two or three people in here who would remember her. I don't know. Armilda Abbott. She was in the Sunset Nursing Home in Pacoima several years back. But anyway, I remember getting up one time and she was a quick talking little woman. She was a little woman, about Sister Katrina's size. She talked fast. She went to college. She had some education. She got up one time and she said, "The Lord has called me to read His word." I'll never forget her saying that. And she said, "I want to read some of His word today." And that's what I want to do this afternoon. I want us to, if we have our Bibles, there are some things I'd like for us to read, consider. But before we do that, the Lord's brought a song to my mind. And I want to read the first two verses and the chorus. The song says, "Many souls today are dying. Sin and sorrow is their lot. Darkness shrouds them with its mantle, all because we love them not. Brother, can we guiltless linger when to us the truth is given? Tearless see the heathen dying, without God or hope of heaven. All because we do not love them, millions fill the heathen grave. Brother, can you see them perish when a little love would save?" This song was written by D.O. Teasley at a time when he obviously had a vision, a burden, and a concern for souls. The name of the song is "All Because We Do Not Love Them." So what I want to read this afternoon, I'd like for us to read a few scriptures together. I pray that they will inspire our faith. I think we always need our faith inspired. We're always facing challenges, and we face the enemy every day. Some days look a little darker than others. Our faith is very challenged today, so I trust and pray that that will be one of the benefits that we receive from our readings. But I want us to consider this song too, "All Because We Do Not Love Them." You know, there's a reason when we go through the Old Testament, when we read of the messengers that God sent forth. You know, God always has had messengers. He's got messengers in heaven. He's got angels that he can send forth to do his will, to do his bidding, but he also has messengers here on earth. Those messengers, if you'll look in the mirror, is you. It's you and I. Jesus prayed that his will would not only be done on in heaven, but it would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that just brings all the responsibility down on every one of us. Now I was thinking, I'll admit, I haven't been to India, but I've been thinking about Brother Clint and the things that he's been through. Living life daily is just the reality of what we do. We get up in the morning, most of us, probably all of us, and clean up, brush our teeth, comb our hair, get dressed and so forth, and prepare for the day, not even knowing for sure. We have maybe some plans, but not really knowing for sure how the day is going to go. Well, you know, that's the way it is in the work of the Lord. You're human. You live life. You do the things that need to be done, but at the same time, you have a purpose for what you're doing. The song says, all because we do not love them. We love souls. I know you do today. I know if you're saved, you have a burden for souls. That's just, they go together. And we love souls. And you have loved ones and friends that you want to see saved real bad. So do we. So do I. Well, we just go about life and do what God gives us to do. And that's basically what I want you to see this afternoon in our readings, to realize that, you know, this really does have something to do with souls. It really does have something to do with helping others to be able to find this same God, this same Lord and Savior that you and I have found. So I'd like to go over to the Old Testament. The first reading that I'd like for us to look at is in the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17 and 1. And you know, we're not going to read anything new. But as my aunt said, God's called me to read the Word. And we want to just read the Word and maybe we'll highlight some of it. But this is talking about Elijah. We all know pretty much the story of Elijah and how things came about in his life. How that he challenged the gods of Baal and the prophets of Baal and those things. We know that, the altars, that God sent the fire down. But it says here, the Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, sent unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It doesn't sound like a very appetizing meal that he had with what I think we mostly consider the ravens, a kind of a nasty bird. But nevertheless, God commands the fish of the sea. He commands the birds of the air. He commands all of his creation. God has control over everything, and everything does his bidding except mankind. Mankind has a will and a choice, and he does what he will in his life. But I think about this God that we serve this afternoon. He's a rich God. Wasn't it David said he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills? He's got it all. It's all in his hands. And yet, here's a servant. Here's a messenger that God has used many times. And he told him where to go. He said, you get over there by the brook, and God commanded the ravens. He didn't send him to a king's house. He didn't send him to a rich family where they had plenty of means to provide. But God was showing Elijah here, you get over here where I tell you to go, I will provide for you. I will bless you. As I said, I want our faith to be inspired, and I want us to be encouraged by the reading of the Word of God. It said it came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And Elijah, he's the one that prophesied it, isn't it? There'll not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So the brook dried up. The Lord of the Lord came unto him again, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. He still didn't get the riches that you and I might think that we ought to have sometimes. You know, when you really, really are interested in putting God first in all that you do, you've got to get out of your comfort zone to be successful. You got to get out of the things that you're comfortable with, the things that satisfy you maybe as far as material things are concerned, and you've got to let go and you've got to let God. And I want us to notice that in all these readings that we look at a little bit this afternoon, that they would not have been successful, and God could not have used them and blessed them if they hadn't trusted God. They had to trust Him. Surely, Elijah down there by the brook, being fed with ravens, there wasn't no people around evidently. He had to trust God. God, you're going to send the ravens again tonight to give me something to eat. He gave him a brook to drink of, but when it all dried up, God told him to go on now. It's time to move. And he sent him to a widow woman. Didn't send him to a rich woman, but a widow woman to sustain him. So he arose and he went there. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Hey, while you're getting the water, bring me a little bit of bread. I'm hungry. Bring me a little bit of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord liveth, thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. She sure didn't have much to look forward to, did she? She was destitute. She figured that they were going to have their last meal and then they were going to die. They didn't have anything else. Folks, we can come down to a place even in our own lives, down along the way of life, and we can feel like, Lord, you know, I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have anything else that I can do but depend on Him and put ourselves in His hands and trust Him. And this widow woman didn't understand that yet, but God sent the man of God to her, to help her to see and understand some things. Elijah said unto her, fear not, don't fear. That's easy said and done, isn't it? He said, go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Sounded kind of a little presumptuous, a little selfish. You make one for me first. Then you go in and you make one for you and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. See, Elijah came into her life and God was able to touch her. God was able to show himself to her. God was able to prove himself to her. She did according to what he said, and she and her house ate many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You know what I believe this afternoon? I believe if we'll stand by the Lord, he'll stand by us. If we'll stand by him, if we can truly say, Lord, I'm going to let go. I'm going to take my hands off of it, and I'm going to trust you. I believe the Lord will stand by us. I know he will. He's proved it too many times, and God is faithful. And I want to take that, and I want to move along, because I don't want to take a lot of time this afternoon. But I'd like for us to, can't read it all. I'd like to go to the 19th chapter of this same book. Ahab and told Jezebel that Elijah had done, withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now, working for the Lord is not all cake and ice cream. Working for the Lord brings confrontation. It brings persecution. It brings challenges from the enemy, because the enemy don't like the work of the Lord, never does and never has and never will. So this is what Elijah was fixing to face here. Jezebel's put a contract out on him now. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He was a man. Scripture says, like passion as you and I are. He rose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Elijah was so human. I can see myself in him so easily. He got discouraged. He was so strong for the Lord when he went against the prophets of Baal, and he had them all killed. He killed them all down there by the brook. And now there's a contract put out on him. Lord, I've done everything you wanted me to do. Now take my life. I'm done. It's all over for me. Can you feel that? Can you see that? And yet God says, no, no, no. It's not all about you. It's about souls. And I'm not done with you yet. And it says, and as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. One thing about it, folks, doesn't any of us here know how long we're going to be here? We don't know how long this journey is going to be, but God does. And when God sends his provisions to bless us, we need to be acceptable of those provisions. And we need to understand that God's way is best, God knows best, and it's all God all the way. And he told him, you arise and eat, because he said the journey is too great for thee. Folks, I found this journey to be pretty hard sometimes. I found this journey to be very difficult sometimes. And that's one reason why part of my prayer is, Lord, it's part of my prayer, I'm asking you to prepare me for what is before me. I pray that very regular, not every day, but very regular. Lord, I want you to prepare me. I do not know the way. I do not know what I'm going to face. I don't know the challenges that are going to come against me. But Lord, I ask you to prepare me. I ask you to give me wisdom, give me understanding, give me the word. Give me some power with God that when I face these unknowns, to know that you're going to be with me, that my faith will be strong, that my trust will be great, that when these times come, Lord, I'll be able to face them. I'm going to be like that flea in that offense here. Lord, we really rocked that bridge, didn't we? I'm going to be trusting in the Lord, just like the flea was trusting that elephant to get him over the bridge. The Lord's going to do it. He promised he was going to do it, folks. It's in his word of promises. And he promised he was going to do it. And it said in verse 80, he arose and he did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Quite a meal, wasn't it? The cake, the cruise of water. And he went and he did eat of that. He had two of them. And he went on the strength of that meal 40 days and 40 nights. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what are you doing here? Let me paraphrase that. Elijah. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenants, thrown down your altars, slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Well, he made a lot of assumptions of his own, didn't he? And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. Oh, I thank God. When I read those scriptures like Moses and hear Elijah, and many of the others that was zealous for the Lord, working for the Lord, and I know the Lord passes by. Why? Why did he pass by? Because this man, this mortal, he needs some strength. He needs my presence. He needs my goodness. He needs me. And he said, the Lord passed by. And a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire. You know, Elijah's experience as a messenger of God, he was used to the earthquakes. He prayed the fire down over the altars over there when he was challenging Baal, didn't he? He had seen all of these things, and the Lord showed him all, just expressed them before his eyes right there on Mount Horeb that day. But it said the Lord wasn't in those things. But here's where the Lord was. And after the fire, a still small voice. You know, it's so easy to get frustrated. It's so easy to get excitable. It's so easy to get chagrined about things, if you will. To get upset. It's so easy to look on the situation, maybe fear and maybe tremble. But the Lord's telling him here, he came down in a still, small, calm voice. The song says, oh, be still, thou soul of mine, thou art not forsaken. The still, small voice. The Lord passed by. Have you ever had the Lord to pass by? Oh, yes. Isn't it sweet? Isn't it precious? I told this story before, but my dad, he came home from work one night and he said he went down into the basement and got alone and he said he prayed and the Lord just come down and just blessed and filled his soul. He said it was so precious. He said, I couldn't wait to get home the next night. He said, I got right down there in the very same spot, in the very same place. And he said, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God didn't bless me like he did the day before. But he blessed him. It's so precious to us. We need that. We need the Lord to pass by. Oh, to hear the still, small voice that brings a calmness. It's like a sedative to us. to shut everything else out. All the noise of the enemy. All the noise of the world. Shut it all out and just be able to hear the still small voice. Isn't that precious? The Lord came along. He knew what He needed. The Lord knows what you need. He's preparing you for something. You don't have to be preachers, folks. He's preparing you for something. Because we're all ambassadors for Christ. A still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" And he said it again. "I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altar, slain your prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Lord, won't you just take me on home? I'm done. I'm tired and I'm weary." Folks, I'm understanding more and more what old Elijah's saying here. I'm understanding more and more. Just take me on home. I want to go be in your presence. I've done all that I could do and I'm worthless now and I can't do any more. And the Lord said unto him, "Go. Return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nun, Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphath of Abimeloah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." I got some more things that I want you to do first. And you know, as you all know the story, God never really did let him die. God came along in a chariot of fire, didn't he? He sent a chariot of fire. And he let this Elisha that he had went and cast his mantle on, he let him stand there and he see God take Elijah up in a whirlwind. In a chariot of fire. "Brother Larry, God doesn't work like that today." He might not work like that today. But he's still the same God with the same power. And with the same authority. And he commands the chariots of fire. He commands the fire. He commands the earthquakes. He commands all those things, but he's not in all that. God's not in a bunch of noise. He wants you to be settled down. He wants you to be quiet. You know, that's what really prayer is all about, is entering into the presence of God. And once you get entered in there, just be quiet for a little bit and let God talk to you in a still small voice and reveal himself to you. All because the song says we do not love them. People are perishing, folks. And we all need to have a greater burden for souls. We all need to carry that greater burden for souls. The Lord told him, "Yea, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." You're not the only one, Elijah. I know how you feel. God says, "Elijah, I know how you feel, but you're not the only one. There's 7,000 that's reserved unto me that's never bowed to the idol of Baal." You know, we're not the only ones, folks. Don't ever get the idea that you are. God's got others. They're scattered about this big, wide world. God's got others that have heard his voice, that have accepted the blood of his precious son. He has others. And we're not alone. But I do thank the Lord we have this privilege to assemble ourselves together and come together in like spirit, like mind, in unity, in oneness. I thank the Lord for those things. But folks, God's got others. He's got many others. You see, Elijah, he let threats frighten him. He was human. He was timid. and he went on the run, didn't he? He let threats frighten him. But look, God had it all in his hands. He's got it all in his hands. I tell you, I like my little prayer saying, Lord, I want you to prepare me for the unknown. I believe he'll do that. He even told us in the scriptures, he said, when they bring you up before the magistrates, don't worry about what, don't even think about what you're going to say. He said, the Spirit will tell you what to say when you get there. Oh, I don't know, Lord. Oh, folks, lean on the Lord. Trust him with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. But lean on the Lord and trust him in everything that you do with your life for him. Let's turn over to 2 Kings now. 2 Kings, and let's pick up Elisha a little bit. Elisha was an amazing prophet to me. He never ran. He never got frightened. He had a double portion of Elijah's spirit. The fourth chapter of 2 Kings, I want to read a few things here. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. That was a sad state of affairs. A woman's husband died. She didn't have any money. And now the creditors come. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Such a little, huh? A pot of oil. What am I going to do with that? Then he said, go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few. This was the man of God telling her, here's what we're going to do now. You just go borrow, get the vessels. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Do you say these are miracles? Yes, they're miracles. And we still serve a miracle working God today if we're willing to get out of our comfort zones. If we're willing to trust God. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. God supplied the needs, didn't he? It took faith for that woman to do what the man said. It took faith. She put her faith into action, and God blessed it. And he provided the means for them to be able to pay the debt and for them to be able to live. And it fell on a day. Elisha passed to Shun. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. Here's a woman, never had a child. longing for a child. That's normal, isn't it? That's a natural thing. She doesn't have a child. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord. Thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. That's more than I can believe. That's more than I can wrap my mind around to believe that I'm going to have a son at this age, this time of my life. And it says, the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled the animal and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid me thee. So he went and he came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. Came to pass when the man of God saw her far off, he said to Gehazi, the servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered and said, it is well. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone. For her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. She said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff on the face of the child. The mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. She wasn't going to settle for a staff, was she? She wasn't going to settle for just a servant. She wanted the man of God. Because she was desperate and destitute. And the mother, and Gehazi passed on before them, laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. When Elisha was come to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. Oh, folks, I tell you, sometimes I see these scenes in my own mind. Think of someone bringing such a serious issue before the Lord. Elijah was desperate himself. Elijah was a man of God, and he was a man of great faith, but he needed the Lord to manifest himself, didn't he? We need the Lord to manifest himself for us. He went up. Then therefore shut the door and prayed unto the Lord, and he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and he walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. When she was come into him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing to see how God works in the affairs of men. To bring about a holiness and a righteousness in the heart of men and women. To worship him, to honor him, to trust him. It was all done, folks. not for the Shunammite woman, but it was all done to glorify God. To me, this glorifies God. Yet we reap the benefits. She reaped the benefit, but it was to glorify God. She took up her son after she had bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. It's amazing, folks, what God can do. And yet even us in our own minds and thoughts and humanity, we sell him short. We sell him short. I have some very dear friends across this country that are in a lot of trouble. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Now, in his sovereignty and his wisdom and believing in his justice and mercy, he knows what's best. He knows whether to heal and let live, or he knows whether to deliver and take them on to glory. And whichever it is, no matter how it may hurt down in our hearts, we have to say amen, don't we, to the will of God. Whatever he does, we got to say it was, he did it. He had a purpose and he had a reason for why he does what he does. Because he's not just playing with us, folks. He wants us. He earns the respect and honor that is due him. He earns that. It's not just, well, you want us to praise you for God. He earns that by how he manifests himself to you and I and how he works in our lives. Well, I want to read another one here. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, 38th verse. There was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servants, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. One went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof a wild gourds his lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. They poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out and said, oh, thou man of God, there's death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. They put some poison things in there that would kill them, would take their lives. But he didn't, you know that still small voice that Elijah heard? He said then, bring meal. And he cast it into the pot and he said, pour for the people they may eat, for there was no harm in the pot. Doesn't God have a remedy or a solution for anything that you and I face in life? He really does. Lord, help us to see him in a greater way. There was no harm in the pot. And they were able to eat of that. And no one died. No one got sick. It said, there came a man from somewhere and brought the man of God bread of first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, full of ears of corn or the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set this before the 100 men? And he said again, give the people they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. And he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Working for the Lord, I remember a minister years ago said it can be dangerous. Well, it can be hazardous maybe to our health. It can be hazardous to our lives. But we're just here to glorify and honor him. That's what we want to do. I pray that that's what we want to do with our lives. Now here's a familiar one. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. One went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Israel said, "Go to. Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." It came to pass when the king read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me to recover, unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Whereof hast thou rent thy clothes? Let them come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." It's all about knowing that God is present. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth. Proud man, wasn't he? He was a proud man. He was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, surely he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. He was not only angry because of the river that he was told to go wash in, he was angry because the man of God didn't come out and pay special attention to him. He sent his servant out, and he went away angry. Folks, he's the one that had the problem, isn't he? He had more than just a leper problem. But the Lord got him a lesson through this. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" So he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Wow. We need messengers like that today. We need people with the authority of the Spirit of God working in their hearts and in their lives, that they can go and pray for others and they will be healed, they will be delivered, they will be saved. We need workers, folks, and we need laborers today. Faithful messengers. He said he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. We know how later this servant took some of it and got in trouble. I just want us to be encouraged this afternoon. God is still God, and he still has those powers that he manifested back in the days of these ancient men. Look at one more with me, if you would. Just one more. The 6th chapter here. "The sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. Take hence every man a beam. Let us make a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." One said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." The man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now that's against all principles, isn't it? It's against anything that we ever heard of that a hunk of iron would swim. In other words, it came up to the surface where they could see it. He just put a stick, he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and here came the iron up, the iron swimming on top of the water. That's not natural, and it's not normal. But it's something God used to get the attention of others. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and he took it. He put out his hand and he took it. The axe head swam. I want us to be encouraged, folks, to know this same God still reigns. He still rules, but he has made a way through his Son that it is even more personal to you and I today than it was to them back then. You know the times when the Spirit of the Lord would come upon them and the Lord would bless and use them, and you and I have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling within us today. And I won't do any reading, but it brings me to one more messenger, a little bit closer to our time, and that was the Apostle Paul and how the Lord blessed him and how the Lord used him. It wasn't all peaches and cream, folks. It wasn't all cake and ice cream. It wasn't all easy. He was in perils many, many times, even in shipwreck. He was in the deep. He was in prison, wasn't he? I like that song when Paul and Silas sang a song. The Lord came down on the scene, didn't he? Things were shaking around there because Paul was doing the will of God. Don't tell me Paul was in his comfort zone in the prison. That's not a place that anybody's comfort zone. So Paul got out of his comfort zone, found himself in a prison, him and Barnabas. And God delivered them, didn't he? Brought him out of the prison. And then I think about Paul in the 24th chapter of the book of Acts, where the Lord brought it around that he came before Felix. Remember Felix? Had his brother Philip's wife. Paul let him know it, didn't he? It's not your wife. That cost John the Baptist his head. But as Paul was talking to him there, you can read it in the scriptures, Acts 24. It says he reasoned of righteousness and judgment and something to come, judgment to come, righteousness and, I forget now how he said that. I'm going to find out what he said. Nobody can help me with it. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. What happened to Felix? He trembled. Man of God standing there before him, telling him how he was living, telling him where he was with God. And as Felix reasoned of those things, he began to tremble. And he told him, you go your way. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. Well, scriptures doesn't tell us he ever called for him again. But it does tell us after 2 years that Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul in bonds. May the Lord help us this afternoon to be encouraged to press on. The song says, all because we do not love them. Souls are perishing every day. Souls are walking in darkness. And I see some lanterns in here. I see some lanterns. The Bible says to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, I've said it before. I've got several night lights at my house. I got some what they call salt lamps. I think I got 6 or 7 salt lamps. And I got night lights here and there. I like to be able to see. My wife gets up a lot in the middle of the night walking around. And when I get up, I want to be able to see too. Those night lights don't have 60-watt bulbs in them. They got 4-watt bulbs. They're not real bright in the daytime. Boy, you let the darkness come on. And they'll light up a room. They'll help you to be able to see where you're going. That's what these men were doing. They were letting their light shine. They were workers for God. In the midst of their time, in their generation, and where the Lord sent them, they were faithful to that. Lord, help us to be faithful. To let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, it hurts. It hurts real bad. Just this past week, I haven't done it for a long time, and I hope it's a lot longer before I ever do it again. I stubbed my toe on the legs of a chair. That hurts. I don't care who you are. That hurts. And it hurts for a little while, and it feels good when it quits hurt. I don't like stubbing my toe, but folks, people are dying lost. I have loved ones that are going to die lost. And my question is, why? Why? They've heard the truth. They've been around the saints. They know what the Bible teaches. They know what the Bible says. Why? Why are they going to be lost? May the Lord inspire our faith, inspire our hearts to be laborers together with Christ, that there might be a few more saved. The biggest, the greatest tragedy of all is of a soul taking its last breath, going out into eternity, unprepared to meet God. That's the greatest tragedy I know. Nothing any sadder, nothing any more sorrowful than someone dying, not ready to meet God. May the Lord help us to do what we can. Not spend all of our time working on our own personal problems, but to think about others. To care about others. To help someone else. Lord, help us today. Help us to be faithful. Help us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to have a vision of those that are dying lost, going down to a devil's hell. Lord, have mercy on us today. I pray you'll be encouraged, that you'll be blessed, and that your faith will be increased. Amen.